Welcome to Grow Radio, bringing you a different podcast on the hour, every hour.
Hey folks, and how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of the Grow Radio show. Now, today I am joined by not a podcast host, not someone who records a podcast, but he's recorded an audio drama, and we're going to talk about his audio drama, what it's about, the concept, and really kind of how you can immerse yourself in his world. So, to not waste any time and not to dilly-dally, let's bring David on and then we can have a chat about Death in Podville. So, David, how are you doing today? How are you getting on?
I'm really good, really busy. It's just finding the time to do these sort of things. It's quite a challenge at the moment, but yeah, it's good. Life is cool. Good.
We were talking off air, folks, and yeah, it's crazy kind of busy schedules and trying to match up time was great. So I appreciate your time today. And yeah, for the next 15, 20 minutes, we're going to be talking about Death in Podville. So for the people who don't know about Death in Podville, what is it all about? Tell us about it.
It's an audio drama, but it's a fictional true crime. And it's set in a fictional new town called Wootton-on-the-Cam in rural Cambridgeshire. And it basically follows two amateur podcasters who started up and they've discovered an unsolved death in their local environment, a local town from back in 1984. And they decide that let's go and investigate, let's see what we can find. You know, why is it unsolved? What's out there? And it starts to take them on a very dark path, finding lots about the secrets of what happened before the new town was built, and they come across sort of lots of interesting characters on the way.
Brilliant. Now, you can listen to Death in Podville on Grow Radio and other platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all those other jazzes, but you can listen to it on Grow Radio every Monday and Saturday at 9 o'clock. But we are going to, and we have done in the past once we've recorded this, we're going to put them all together, and you can listen to all of the shows from start to finish on Sunday, the 11th of February, between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Now, this is quite strange to say that because we're recording it on the 18th of October for full disclosure. So by saying February, it seems like ages away, but it's not. That's how you can listen to it. So if you tune in, you'll be able to hear it on Monday and Saturday, but tune in on Sunday and you'll be able to hear the whole load from start to finish. There's 10 episodes and they're roughly around 22 minutes long. So it's quite nice and bite-sized. And I've listened to about the first seven. I've covered seven episodes at least. I don't think I've started the eighth just yet. But what I love about it is that, especially at the start, when you don't know the characters, you do feel like you're encroaching into their world. You do feel like actually you're just listening into their conversations because they're creating this piece of content, but actually they're getting really immersed into it. And after the third or fourth, you're hooked. You're into it. You're there. You are. So one thing that I'd love to kind of understand a little bit more from you is obviously these characters have all got different kind of plot lines. They've all got different ideas, but how did you come up with the ideas behind it? Where did it all start from?
The initial idea, right? So if we jump back, I'm a filmmaker and I'd done a couple of films, and one of the things was I've got the visuals and the acting and the actual visual side of it was okay, but I found the audio side was letting me down. So I then thought, well, how can I do that? Well, I need to concentrate on just the soundscaping. How do I develop the sound, the music, and sort of key that together? And I was listening to a couple of podcasts at the time, one of which was the Magnus Archives, and I really loved that. It was very immersive, it was very much soundscapes, it was very sort of, it was sci-fi, but it was alternative worlds, and it was, you could really visualize the places through how they were creating the soundscapes. I thought, I need to do that. So they did Q&A sessions on some of their podcasts where they would talk to the creators and they would talk, and they would actually go through their techniques. They would look at the equipment they were using and the machines and the places they got material from. So I kind of reversed that And that gave me a starting point to go, right, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And then I thought, well, I need to have something to actually use this with. And I keep a note of ideas for scripts and things. And I was going through ideas and I came up with this one idea of what would happen in a town with buried secrets. You know, what happens when you build a new town? And that then started the ball rolling. So the idea is that there is this mysterious, there's these deaths and act stories that happen before this new town build. They then build a town, then, but these secrets don't go away. And it was, that was the sort of the starting block for creating this 10-part series.
Brilliant. And how long does it take from start to kind of, so you had that initial idea, that initial concept, you saw that kind of idea on paper, you revisited it. How long does it take from that initial idea to the completion and maybe the release, or at least getting to a stage where you're happy to get it released? How long are we talking about?
This particular project took about 3 years.
Okay.
And that's all because you kind of do it in your own time as well. So it was kind of a year from the concept to how do we get it starting, then all the research, and then sort of building up the ideas of what this involved, and then creating a world, then starting to create the characters, who's going to be in it, the backstories of every character, the locations. Then it was a case of, you know, sort of what sort of sounds would we likely to be hearing in these kind of environments, or trying to pick environments that are going to be very acoustically recognizable. Like if you go into a church, or if you go into a shopping center, or you go to a railway station, you know, they all have very distinct sounds. So it was trying to find locations or create locations that you could set these stories in that would be instantly recognizable. And then once I was happy with that, I then started writing the episode. So it takes about a week from start to finish to actually write an episode. 10 episodes, then we're looking at best part of 2.5-3 months. And then they went away to get edited. And at that point, I'd brought in my lead, one of my lead actresses, Jodie. She is also a stage producer for theatre, but she has a lot of management skills. So I brought her in as a producer. So I was doing the directing and the editing and the writing. And it helped having her, then she could then concentrate on setting up the auditions, you know, finding people, setting up the auditions, and then basically running the management side of the project while I concentrated on getting the technology and the equipment up to speed, getting the scripts finalized, and then sort of bringing everything together. And we then went through the process of arranging the actors. So we had local actors, so we then had to go through a process of allocating when people would be coming together to film on location, because we filmed half of it outside and half of it in the studio. We also had, after a casting call, we ended up with 3 American actors and 2 from other parts of the UK who weren't able to come together, so we then had to schedule in getting them to do their own audio work, coach them in what they needed to do for the characters with their backstory, and also how they would then sound, arranging calls to America to get them who the different time zones to do them, because I'd be working with them at the same time, so I could coach them as they were recording their lines using clean feed, which is what I was using. And then arranging to get all the actors together locally so that we could go out and film. Now, we recorded, unfortunately, this during the COVID period. So for the first half, we had to record everything outside. So we did all the external scenes first, and we would arrange to meet them in car parks, and we'd have to be limited number of people. And we would have to then go to certain places to try and do these in a safe manner. And so we had like car scenes, so we had two people or 3 people in the car. So we would have, you know, one would jump in, do their scene, record it, they would get out, the next person would come in, they would do their scene in response to the other ones, and they would then have to sort of, I would then have to overlay that together to make it sound like they were both in the car at the same time.
This is fascinating, because it's one of those where you kind of think to yourself, 3 years sounds like a long time, but actually when you break it down into the little steps that you are doing,
yeah,
it's actually not that long at all. Then you throw in COVID.
I think the COVID kind of really stopped a lot of that in its track, because we had, you know, with the time when families would go into lockdown when one person got, so we'd end up having to reschedule a lot of stuff because one person in the family had COVID, so everything then shut down. So we then had to then rearrange the recordings and things like that. So there was a lot of delays from that respect.
Mm. But I can imagine also that with the amount of logistics that are going on in terms of the actors being in, some of them being in America and kind of making sure that you've got all of those sides of it, you've got someone else working on the scripts and you're working on the production, there's a lot of kind of wheels being turned. There's a lot of plates being spun. And I think when people listen to audio dramas, they might not necessarily think that. They might think it's just like recording a podcast where you just jump on a call and have a chat. It's not at all, folks. This is a whole different level. This is, as you said, it's akin to a TV show. Am I right in thinking that?
Say that again, sorry?
That it's basically akin to making a TV show.
Yes, it is. There's two types of podcasts or audio dramas. You've got the ones where they're all done in a studio, so everyone files in. You either do them individually or you have them together in small groups for different scenes, depending on what you want. Or there's this sort of alternative, let's go real world and actually go out and record on location or in an environment that's as close to... you get a replicant location that simulates what you want without actually being in the place that you want. For me, that wasn't an issue because I've done a lot of film work anyway. I'm quite used to going to filming forests and being in weird and wonderful places, so I didn't see that as a challenge, whereas some people might find that as quite a scary option.
But what did you find the biggest challenge in recording all of this?
The weather, to some extent, the challenges of when you're in the studio, you can record individual lines. You can do it line by line if you want. But when you're actually on location, you can't stop. So you have to do each scene from start to finish, or what each section of scene in start to finish, where you can find natural breaks, where you can change things. Because when you're in a forest, the wind's blowing and the trees are making their own sound. And the leaves are rustling and stuff like that. So if you cut that, you get a different tone. So you have to be consistent all the way around because it's not something you can change. If there's a plane flying over, there's a car passing, you have to stop and restart. And so you try and get rid of unwanted sounds from those recordings, but keeping, you've got to be on top of what's going on so that you can get a nice section of 5 minute recording that's clean and doesn't have any other distractions. I mean, we had one, we were recording in a cemetery and a guy next door started up his power lawnmower halfway through. And we had to stop and just wait till that finished. Plane's going over, we have to wait till they fly past and then we start again. And so that was a lot of the challenge. The technical challenges is those things that could have been done in 5 minutes in the studio took 2 or 3 hours on location.
But the benefits of being on location, I suppose, outweigh at that point outweigh being in the studio.
Yeah. You got a much nicer sound and you got the interaction as well. You've got the people walking. You know, we were actually going through the dynamics of what the actors would be doing at the time. I had a great chat with a BBC sound engineer who does another audio drama. He's called David Thomas, and he works with the Lovecraft Investigations. I think they've just got a new one out at the moment. Is it The Haunter of the Dark or something? And he gave me a lot of advice of what it's like to actually work with people, with actors on location, doing the actual things. He says, because if you've got someone who bends over, they crouch down, their diaphragm changes, so that the way they talk changes, they breathe differently. So if they're running, they're walking, as opposed to if you just stood in a studio with a microphone, you get a very different kind of resonance from your body and when you talk.
I can remember one scene that I was listening to, that it was in a pub. It was set in a pub. And it did feel like you were inside that pub. You felt like they were kind of talking at the table and then going to the bar, and you heard the sounds around it. And that always stands out to me as a kind of a testament to how good the quality is, that I believed I was in the pub at that particular time.
Well, it was filmed in an ex-pub. So the guy that I know had a pub and was in the process of closing down. And he's got a studio, Rick Savage, I'll name him, but he's got a studio upstairs, so he's got lots of floor space. So we used his room because the acoustics and the build quality were pretty much the same upstairs, downstairs. So we kind of used the upstairs for the general pub environment. Mm-hmm. But then when we went downstairs, he'd got the taps, he'd got the cash machine, he'd got the jukebox, the games machines, you know, the sort of bandit machines and stuff like that. Yeah. So we were able to sort of record each of those individually to then bring it all together. So it then came up that pub sound.
Brilliant. You spoke about at the start, it took 3 years to kind of do because you were trying to balance everything at the time in terms of your time and energy.
Yeah.
How did you actually manage to balance it all? Because you're not doing this full time. You're doing this as something extra to what pays the bill. So how do you balance it all? Because it's a big time investment.
I was looking at this question. I was trying to sort of, how am I going to answer this? Mm. The truth is that there is no balance. The problem I found with this is, I know if you're doing a podcast show, you have a routine, you're going to start, you do your research, and then you do your prep, and then you do the interview, and then you do your post-production, and then you put it out, and you put it on a cyclic. This didn't quite work like that. Once the scripts had been written, and then we started going through the process of casting, it then took its own momentum, and you were then at the call of other people's schedules. So it then took on a life of its own, and it had its own momentum. So basically for 9 months, it moved itself, and I was having to chase along to try and keep up with it. It's because it was a very bizarre experience. So I had to fit everything in. So I was doing my work, I was doing other things, commitments, and I was doing all this as well. So basically my day went from 8 hours to 12 to 14 hours a day, just to fit everything in, because you couldn't stop. It had its own life, and you couldn't just factor it in. You try to clear things as much as possible, but I'm lucky now that I'm at a stage in my life where I have a lot more time available. You know, my daughter's grown up and she's left home, you know, different commitments are, you know, my commitments to other things have changed as well. So because I'm freelance, I can move things around, and I'd got more time to work during the day, so I can, you know, shift things around. So there's a lot more flexibility than if I was doing a 9-to-5 job. I think that would have been a very different process.
Mm, very much so. And that kind of leads me on to my next kind of little bit, because there's people who might be aspiring to start their own audio drama or kind of get into the kind of the sound tech kind of arena or filmmaking arena. Have you got any kind of tips for them? How would they get started? Because it sounds like a fascinating process and feels like something that you should, that I certainly kind of want to shadow or kind of be part of, because it's apart from being all encompassing, which is, to be fair, quite nice as well when you're submerged into a task or immersed into a task. But what kind of tips have you got for people who are looking to start their own, whether it is just audio drama or, you know, their own series?
I think passion. You've got to be passionate about the story that you want to tell, because whatever you do, it's going to take a lot of time and effort to go forward. The second bit would be to do your research on how to do it. Watch, there's a lot of YouTube videos, there's lots of how to make podcasts. So if you go watch a video about how to do a podcast, but then you can break it down into how do I do recordings, how do I do this, how do I do that. So there's a lot of elements that you can do before The other thing would be to listen to as many similar type of podcasts or audio dramas that are in the genre that you want to do. So if you want to do a true crime, or if you want to do a sci-fi, if you want to do a horror or somewhere, then immerse yourself into those. You have to look at other websites, other social medias of other audio productions, and look at how they've developed their websites and how they've interacted with the audience and how they've grown. So, you know, watching them and then looking at their director's cuts as well, because a lot of them give you a lot of information. They'll have a website and they'll give you details. But an audio drama is a good one to go and have a look at. The guy's done a lot of preparation and a lot of interaction with you, with his followers as well. So that's a good place as well. Magnus Archives, they give you a lot of information. But the one thing I will say is aim to do things like to be at the same level as the BBC, because that is really high quality. But don't try to emulate, or don't be surprised if you don't get anywhere near. It's kind of a falsehood to think that when you start, you're going to sound like an immaculate, high production quality. It will take a while to perfect. Look at other people's recording equipment. Just do the research of, you know, what kind of microphones are they using, because they'll use different types of mics for different kind of conditions. What kind of recording systems are they using? Do you want to buy the stuff yourself, or do you want to get somebody else in to help? Finding a crew to help you build. So if you've got friends who are passionate as well, then they can jump in and help take some of the load off you. There's a lot there. And if you can do it yourself, do so. But if you don't, find out what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. Find people who can do those things that you're weak at, and then try and sort of build a team together and move forward.
That's golden advice for not just audio dramas, not just podcasts, but general anything. You know, if you can understand your weaknesses and you understand kind of where your strengths are, and you can get a team together that actually gaps those, you're unstoppable, whatever you do. But for the people who have just listened, all of that is just sage advice. David's just giving you a step-by-step guide of how to kind of research and do it and get it started. But I love the fact he started, and you started, with passion. You have to have a passion for it. That's, for me, if you're going to start a podcast, you need kind of three things. You need passion, you need to be interested in the topic, and also you've got to have the confidence, you've got to have the strength to see it through, because it's going to take time, it's going to take energy to be able to do it. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
I was pretty much sick by the time I actually released, and the sort of the adrenaline and everything. 3 years of your life has suddenly gone into this, and suddenly it's a horrible feeling, and you get sick of it. You will get to hate the thing that you've created after that length of time. And then you go, okay, I've released it. I now need to market it, and I still need to be passionate and enthusiastic about something that just about killed me for the last few months.
It's a proper labour of love at that point, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You need to kind of do it. So that kind of poses the question, what's next for you? What's next? Because this is just one part of the whole universe, isn't it, for you?
Yes, there is. It all falls under the Eberswald enigma, which is, it's a bigger story, a bigger umbrella. That's the whole sort of world. So Death in Podville is part of it. And then as it develops, it moves into that universe. So there are three series that are set in the Death in Podville series that kind of skirt along the edge of this Vald Enigma series. So we're in the process of just getting that together so that I can start writing series two. And then series three will probably get written around the same time. And then we'll record and produce two and three pretty much back to back for the future. I've done an online social media version of series two and series three, so they are out there into the internet, various social media platforms, as a concept. It was very much like a simplified ARG, or certainly working as Unfiction, Unfiction is something that's purported is fiction, but is set as if it's real. And it's a kind of a newish genre that's come about. A lot of people won't be familiar with it. It's worth having a look at. There's a lot of stuff going on with it. There's some amazing products. And then ARGs, which are an alternative reality games, which is like it's like taking the Unfiction and then turning it into something that then people can interact with. So there's usually you get high level ones which are, you know, problem based, and there's lots of interactions. People can go and meet people or have events at certain things. J.J. Abrams is really popular having them with his films with the Cloverfield. So they have he's got a like an ice cream truck that if you go and meet him at a certain place and ask for a certain thing, they'll give you a T-shirt. You know, so it can be really big for marketing, but it also can be done at a very low level with low level sort of interactions. And some are just websites, some are stories. So there's a lot out there. And it's just this is just kind of like a baby version of that. And it was a case of I had the characters and I wanted to see how they would actually fare in the real world. So I just created these accounts and put them out there and just got them to move around, tell the story, and then react to things that were happening at the time in the real world as they were going along. And that created some very interesting dynamics.
That's brilliant. So if people
want to take those and put that back into the script when I come to actually write the second series.
My life, it's just... You think you've kind of got a grasp on it, and then you just threw something like that at us. And it's a case of, wow, it's even more layered than you think. If people wanted to find more information about this and read season 2 and 3 and all the other stuff you got going on, how can they? Have you got a website for it all? Socials? Yeah, it's your time to shout out about it.
Right. So the main one is the Fennan Films Initiative. Sorry, the Fennan Films Initiative. So fennandfilmsinitiative.com. So it's all one clump of word. That's the main website. That's the focus for everything. But if you type in Death in Podville, you will find the site. So like say Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music. It was on, what's the one?
Google Podcast.
The one that's just closed down, it was on there. But it's filtered through to a lot of other ones that I don't even know, things like PodPod and Podbean and some of the ones that are sort of the lesser known ones. And even to some of the ones in America that I can't even get permission to go and listen to because I don't have the authority to listen to my own podcast in another country.
Brilliant.
We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. There's Instagram. So if you put in a search, you will find something somewhere that will take you.
And to make it even easier for the people who are watching and listening, I'll put them all in the show notes as well. So you don't have to worry about doing all the Google searches. You can do. It's going to help. But it will all be in the show notes to make it really easy for you. It'll be. And also remember, you can listen to new episodes. Well, you can listen to episodes individually on a Monday and a Saturday at 9 o'clock. But remember, on Sunday, the 11th of February, you can listen to all of them back to back. We're going to have a marathon session of Death in Podville where you're going to be able to listen to it from start to finish, which is going to be fantastic. And actually, to listen to it like that is a bit of a treat. I think that's actually, for me, my preferred way of listening to it rather than individual episodes, because you are probably getting more immersed into it. And if you've got that, if you're in that mindset that you're going to be enjoying that content for that amount of time, then that means actually, for me anyway, the way my mind works, I'm going to be really invested in that for that particular time. I'm not going to be distracted compared to maybe listen to one and go, oh yeah, I need to support the dogs now. You know, it's that kind of thing. So folks, listen to it on Sunday the 11th between 1 and 5. 1 and 5. 1 and 5, folks. David, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Have you got any kind of last...
Thank you.
Tips or last things you want to finish this chat, this interview on?
Go and find the podcast. It's been listened to all over the world, from Malaysia to Australia, India, Sweden, Colombia, Argentina, America, huge following in America. It's just mind-blowing how something so small has basically just gone straight across the world.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, David, for your time. And everyone watching, Thank you very much for watching and listening to this episode of The Grow Radio Show. Please check out Deaf and Podville, visit their website, connect with them on socials, and really get immersed in it. And join us on Sunday, the 11th of February, where we're going to be listening to all of the Deaf and Podville episodes back to back from between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Take care, my friends, and I'll see you all soon. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to Grow Radio, bringing you a different podcast on the hour, every hour.